Matt Haynes here with Casey Smith. Troy Harmon answering your questions about your money. And if you've got questions you want us to answer, don't hesitate to give us a call at 770-429-9166 during the week, or you can email us at drgene@hensler.com. All right. Well, let's get into this case study a little bit, KC, and sort of talk about this. We hinted at it before we took a break. We got a situation where the subject is planning for incapacity, right? Yeah. And we've got a hypothetical scenario that we've concocted here where you've got Rosalie and her father, Sal. Sal's 68 years old. He's retired. He's on his own. And he's always managed his own investments. And he's built up quite a large estate in this case. But I'll go ahead and say it for the sake of the case study and what we talk about. That's not always the case. And right. In this example, there are resources. But the point in this study that we're going to go through for the next few minutes here is that regardless of whether there are resources available to you or not, there's some things you need to consider and think about. Earlier this year, he was diagnosed with early stages of Alzheimer's, all too common. I mean, we're hearing more and more of this. It's just a reality, unfortunately. Understands the situation, he does, and he wants to plan for the worst. So what does he need to do to prepare for the possibility of incapacity? Where does he start?
So this is such a broad topic that we could really take it in a number of different directions. So we'll try to kind of focus it in here and just give you a 30,000 foot overview. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, the very first thing that anybody should really have in terms of planning for incapacity, and this doesn't just go if you've been diagnosed with some kind of early Alzheimer's or any other type of terminal illness. I mean, this is really goes for everybody. So a durable power of attorney for financial and health care. So somebody who you trust that can take care of your finances, pay your bills, balance your checkbook, all of that stuff. And then also on the healthcare side, make decisions for you in terms of what kind of care you want to receive.
Who can make the calls, right? And we say it, and if you listen to the show often, you've heard me say it, you've heard others say it on the air. And Casey, you said it before we got on the air earlier today, that oftentimes it's more complicated when you don't die than when you do.
Yes.
And in a situation like this, this is really what we're talking about. This could be a prolonged thing, most likely will be for at least a period of years. And so who can write a check on your checking account? Who can pay your mortgage? Oftentimes the conversation comes up around there's a car accident and you're in a coma.
Yeah.
You know, if that lingers, you need somebody to be able to act on your behalf.
And it's important, too, to have somebody who's you need to talk with whoever you're designating to make sure they're aware.
Yeah, surprises are bad.
Surprises are
bad
because they can decline. You know, they don't have to do it.
Right.
I mean, obviously, if there's somebody that you trust, and they probably would, but that's something to talk with them about and make sure that you've got that lined up.
Well, and I'll say this too, Casey, because it comes up a lot of times in the context of estate planning in general. It's a standard blocking and tackling estate planning discussion at this point in the case, but conversations around the medical side, like, you know, whether it's a do not resuscitate, mm-hmm. whether it's a, all right, do you want food and water,
right.
water but no food but no water, these are really hard decisions for family members to make. And oftentimes, if you can make the decisions in advance and document them, still tough calls, still tough situations, but are you allowing the family members to know that, well, look, I know this is what my loved one desired,
yep.
this was their wishes. There's not the burden of, did I make the right call? Should I have done this? Should I have done that?
And the lawyers call that an advance directive for health care, and that's really in Georgia anyway. And that's something that's important, as along with the other documents, the durable powers of attorney for health care and finance.
Mm-hmm.
And then HIPAA waivers is another thing. A lot of times you're going to have to get a waiver to get through all of the HIPAA laws, the privacy laws that are surrounding the healthcare industry. So that's sort of the, as Matt said, the blocking and tackling of the whole where you begin the conversation. For this particular individual, with the early Alzheimer's, it's going to be a question of, okay, what are the end goals for this person? So is there any need for insurance? In this person's case, probably not, but a lot of times that's not the case.
Yeah, so does long-term care insurance, once you get to this point, and again, just to sort of reiterate in case you missed it, so earlier this year he was diagnosed with early stages of Alzheimer's.
Right.
So first question, do you have it? If you don't, is
if you
it
don't,
too late?
It's probably too late. Now, there are new, relatively new, probably the last
15,
20 years. There are new products out there that are called hybrid life insurance policies. So what these are, policies that are going to pay a death benefit, but you're going to get access to the death benefit if you need it in the case of a long-term care event. And so the underwriting is not quite as stringent as it is for a traditional long-term care policy, because the life insurance company doesn't care whether you use it for long-term care or you use it upon your death. Mm-hmm. You're going to be paying the premiums, and you're going to be paying the premiums throughout the duration of your life, because it is a life insurance policy. So that's one thing to remember.
Yeah. And then there's the hybrid annuity contracts, right, that are single premium.
Right. Yep. That's another way to go. Mm-hmm. And what that is going to do is essentially, you know, you put in a lump sum of money based on whatever cash flow your needs are. And then you can buy up a rider that's going to pay an accelerated benefit to you in the case of a long-term care event.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, too, on those. And again, Jim Crone here at Hensler, who runs the advanced planning on the insurance side that would deal with the long-term care stuff for us, Jim is real good about equipping us with the knowledge about these. And there's a cost to a rider like that. There is an expense added to a fixed annuity like this, but there's no long-term care underwriting
right.
in connection with the contract. So even though you've already been diagnosed, that's still an option if
yep.
you're concerned. Really, you do this if you're worried about running out of money.
Right. Yeah, that's yep. the biggest thing in this case. I mean, and this individual doesn't necessarily have that worry, but they may have goals to provide for the daughter or mm-hmm. grandchildren
right.
or a charitable, you know, inclination later in life. So, or after they're gone. So, it really depends on what the end goals are. If you don't care about leaving anything behind, and you've got enough money to self-insure, as long as you're okay with accepting 100% of that risk, then that's fine, and that's going to, you know, save you some money in premiums along the way. But
right, yep.
if you do have a need for some money for whatever cause at the end of your life,
right,
it might be
you
worth
may not want to exhaust
at.
Your resources.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, there's one thing too. I mean, we're talking all around the numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, the numbers tell us that currently in the Atlanta area, it's about $72,000 a year.
Yeah.
In order to be in a nursing home with full care, right?
Yes.
So if you do the numbers real quick, they say that it grows about 4% annually. To have 10 years worth of care, you'd have to have saved off $584,000, assuming that 4% is not breached to
right.
the upside. So if you had a potential for 20 years, and Alzheimer's is one of those diseases that people live between 5 and 20. It's very, you know, the variation is wide as to,
pretty broad,
to
yeah.
your yeah to your lifespan with Alzheimer's. So you'd at 20 years you'd need $985,300 given those particular calculations. So basically, if you had $1 million. You could easily self-insure. One of the other things, and I talk about this frequently, is if you do have that kind of money and that's going to cover your living expenses for the next 20 years, and you do have the wish for a bequest to leave you know, something to your heirs, whether it be a charity or your children or grandchildren, mm-hmm. whomever, you should probably begin characterizing the portfolio more as if it is for them anyway. So
yeah,
so
right.
match their time horizon and their
manage the assets with them in mind.
Absolutely, yes. Which is going to be much different than an older person who has a smaller time horizon for their savings.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, less fixed income, probably more stocks.
Yep. Absolutely, guys. I mean, there's just so much that needs to be done. You know, whether it's making decisions about how to possibly insure against the cost or the risks associated with an incapacity like long-term care insurance, whether you use a hybrid product, there's already been a diagnosis, do you need to look at long-term care, yes or no? Advanced directives, I mean, Casey, you put it well, right? I mean, it's so much a part of the estate planning conversation.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's really there's other documents you can look at, and really the best thing to do is to get with a qualified estate planning attorney and
yeah.
hash out all these issues, because there's different kinds of trusts in addition to those powers of attorney that can be used to kind of help move things along. And you got to also consider, you know, if you've been managing your own money for a while, your own assets, who's going to do that for you? Do you have a family member? Is your power of attorney capable of doing that, or do you need to hire a professional?
Yeah, and I'll say this too, right? I mean, we talk about long-term care insurance from the insurance side, just like the estate planning, and I've said this many times on the air. I don't think it can be repeated enough. You need to find an estate planning attorney that's a good estate planning attorney, which sounds obvious, but not necessarily the guy that closed your real estate loan the guy that helped you buy your house. Not to say that he can't do it on the side, but estate planning is a unique discipline within law, and you need somebody that does that. Additionally, be sure you're not dealing with an attorney that really just sells insurance. You know, when I talk about Jim Crone here at Hensler, our guy that we use, the plan's the priority in his context, not the product. And if you find somebody looking to sell a product that solves your estate plan, that's a red flag. You need to find an insurance professional that's thinking planning first, and then there's an appropriate use of an insurance product somewhere in there. So do that. And obviously, you know, here at Hensler, we do a lot of this planning stuff. It's kind of what the firm's here for, to provide that kind of clarity for you. So if you think we can help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 770-429-9166. Or you can email us at drgene@hensler.com, not just with your questions for the air, but track down KC and see if you can get some help on planning for this stuff. Absolutely. Well, lots to cover, and KC, you mentioned it, right? I mean, there's so many things to talk about on this subject. It's real broad.
It is.
We'll come back and touch on it maybe just a little bit after the break, but good stuff. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on Money Talks. Don't change that out.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.